Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, presented by Inspired Media for You. It's time to receive your weekly infusion of motivation and empowerment to jumpstart your week. I am your host, Shania Marie Adams, affectionately known as Coach Adams, Master Motivator and your resident empowerment coach. I coach and you win. Our focus on Motivational Mondays is to equip and empower you in the process of closing the gap from where you are to where you desire to grow. Each week, we come together to engage on life's highway where we are on a divine journey, a journey in which I truly believe God is the light illuminating our path, guiding and directing each and every step along the way. We sincerely value your participation, our global listening audience, and we genuinely appreciate you tuning in for this time of empowerment, coined as Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, hashtag I'm for you. We don't take your time lightly or for granted, but rather we are eternally grateful to have this opportunity to sow into your lives on your journey of purpose, to fulfill your destiny. Here on Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, our programming is designed based on two formats of empowerment that we bring you each and every week. The blending of our in-studio guests sharing their testimonies and or areas of expertise, and our Shape Up series, which has been designed to support you on your journey to win personally and professionally so that you may be more equipped to work it now. Work your vision, achieve your goals, and ultimately live your dream. If you have missed any of our past show episodes, archives of previous broadcasts, and the richness of what is shared each week are always available online at www.blogtalkradio.com/inspiredmediaforyou. www.blogtalkradio.com/inspiredmedia4U. On our last installment of Motivational Mondays, we shared another powerful Shape Up episode, and we took a revealing look at how to handle the dark times on your journey of purpose. It was truly rich and revealing. Allow me to set up the framework of today's broadcast. I will share with our in-studio guests for about 35 to 40 minutes into today's broadcast around our subject, and then we will open our programming up for your audience participation, at which time we welcome your questions and your comments. This, of course, will lend to an interactive environment. We encourage you, our global listening audience, to, without question, chime in at the appropriate time. Before I bring in our in-studio guests, I want to ask you to do something for me. I want you to take a quick moment to write on someone's Facebook wall, send a tweet, a DM, a message in a bottle, a pigeon carrier, a fax. Do whatever you need to do, an email. Do whatever you need to do to invite someone to join you for today's broadcast, because without question, it is going to be rich and revealing. On today's installment of Motivational Mondays, our special in-studio guest will be sharing some rich and insightful information around this subject of pursuing a dream authentically. Pursuing a dream authentically. I encourage you to grab your notepads and your pens, your iPads, your tablets, power up your laptops, your desktops, so you can capture the notes and the richness around what will be shared. Kiki McKnight, wow, what a powerful lady. She is a writer. She is a content creator of film, television, stage, and digital. She is the creator and the writer of Bad Dad Rehab. We'll hear more about that and all of the various projects that she is associated with. I love to invite our in-studio guests in, and I love asking them to share who they are from their point of view. So without further ado, join me in giving a virtual round of applause to today's in-studio guest, Kiki McKnight. Hello, Kiki. Welcome to Motivational Mondays.
Hi, Coach Adams. How are you?
I am fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing really good. I'm happy to be here with you guys.
Oh, you know what? It is so wonderful to have you sharing with us today, and I thank you for saying yes to Motivational Mondays and for allowing this platform to be able to share an aspect of your story. And, you know, before we jump into our dialogue, I would love to hear from your point of view, who would you tell people is Kiki McKnight, Kironda Kiki McKnight?
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, that's the first thing. It's Kironda. Well, and interesting you should say that, because I'll start with my name. My name, Kironda, which is really the American pronunciation of a name, Kironde, that my grandmother was attracted to from a friend of hers from Kenya. My college professor told me one day, she said, do you know what your name means? And I said, no. And she said, it's a very strong Kenyan name. It means to bring down with a force. And it's not a very common name. It's a very particular and rare name. So when you hear that name and you know what it means, your ears perk up. I was very honored to hear that, because I'm sure my sweet grandmother, who has transitioned to heaven, didn't know the name that she was giving to me, but she was very adamant with my mother, who wanted to give me some other name, to give me that name. And it's a very rare name in my family. So I'm very honored to walk out the character and the attributes of that name. And it certainly does explain a lot about my personality. Because my middle name is Gillette, and that came from my mom. Shout out to Audrey Elliott. And she said that's because your razor is sharp. So I have very strong names to live up to, and I think that's informed my personal journey and professional journey on a lot of levels. But who I am is, I'm first and foremost a child of the Most High God. I'm first and foremost someone who is always a child at heart, always looking at the world with wide-eyed wonder, always a person who just thinks that, you know, the most fantastical things are just wonderful to think about and dream about and just try to grasp every time and any time I get the opportunity. So I'm that person. I am also a mother of a almost 20 years old woman, child, I can't believe it, who is in her second year of college. And I'm just, you know, I'm a daughter, and I'm a little girl inside in a grown woman's body, still, you know, pursuing this dream like, you know, there's no end to it. And I want to stay that way, to be quite honest, because for a long time I thought that, you know, for a minute I had this Peter Pan syndrome of never growing up. But I think that's what's helped me stay in this very, very long, arduous process of a dream becoming your livable daily reality. So I'm a lot of things, eclectic, quirky, what's that word I love? Phantasmagorical, I think that was the word it was. And I'm just a prism of different lights depending on what's going on that day. So you might get blue Kiki, green Kiki, yellow Kiki, or pink Kiki, but it'll all be the same Kiki nonetheless. So that's me in a nutshell.
I absolutely love it. And wow, I love the meaning of your name. It's so interesting because my first name is Shania, and my mother had a friend when she at some stage was at a position that was Shawnee Indian, and her name was Shania something or other. And when she had me, she spelled it phonetically, and then from what I understand, my godmother gave her a gift, and the way that it is now spelled, she liked the way that that looked. And the way that it's spelled has a Peruvian root. And so I did some research, and my actual name, based on the Peruvian root, means flame. So today we have the flame and the one to bring down with force on the airwaves today. And so I'm sure there's going to be quite a dynamic time together. I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, as we're talking about this subject today of pursuing a dream authentically, what does that mean to Kiki McKnight, Kironda? What does that mean to pursue a dream authentically?
Well, it means a lot of things because it really is. It's a journey, and on every journey, there's different stages, there's different levels. So it can never mean any one thing. It'll always evolve, and I think but there are some basic tenets and foundations to have to keep it going. And I think one of those foundations is that it has to be true. It has to be true to you. It can't be someone else's imposition on you or their dreams kind of lived vicariously through you. It has to be true to you. It has to be yours. It has to have its genesis from inside of you. And I think it also has to come from the Lord. It has to come from God. It has to come from Him. He's the one that gives the gifts, the tools that you'll need in order to do this journey. And everybody's tools are not the same tools. If I'm hiking on a mountain, I won't have the same tool as someone who's going to be scuba diving. We have different tools. So I think you have to know that it's true to you and it's God-given. And that's the basis. That's the core of where you're starting from. But from that point, you know, to pursue your dream authentically, you really need to be willing to do a painful self-examination at any given moment, because that thing you're pursuing is going to test you. It's going to test you at every turn. And if it's not true to you, and if it's not God-given, you're going to quit. You're going to give up. You're going to stop. You're going to roll over and play dead. And there goes the dream. So you really have to understand that it has to first and foremost be true to you. That has to be the foundation laid on the ground. It has to be God-given. That has to be the framework. Otherwise, there's no reason to pursue it. So to first and foremost be pursuing your dream authentically, that has to be anchored. Then from that point to pursue it is you have to be willing to go for the long haul. Nothing that's worth having is ever achieved quickly and simply. You have to steady your mind, or you have to settle in yourself that it's going to be a journey, and it's going to take this four-letter word called time. And it can either be your friend or it'll be your enemy, depending on the day. So with that in mind, you understanding these things, whatever is thrown at you from that point, when those three things are settled in you, you'll be able to go on and you'll be able to pursue your dream authentically.
And you know what I love about what you just shared, Kiki, because when I'm listening to you, I'm saying, wow, she is without question hitting the nail on the head. Because so often people are pursuing dreams that mommy or daddy said they should, like, you should become a doctor. They have no passion to be a doctor, but they go through all of this and then they're miserable. They have no good bedside manner, but now it's the career that they're in. It's not true for them. It was someone else's dream that said, you should do this. And it shows. And like you said, it has to be God-given. Oh, I love that, because that is my source. And so often I'll tell people, I'm doing what I'm doing because God has me on this journey. And you often have to step back and know who has set you in motion. Because when the stuff comes, like you said, it'll test you. It'll be painful. So when the stuff comes, the adversity comes against you, if you don't have that solid anchor, you're going to quit, you'll throw in the towel, you won't have the fire, the passion for it. I can't imagine. You haven't had to sacrifice anything on your journey, have you?
That's funny, Coach. Sacrifices. I mean, it comes with the journey, and I think people really don't see that, especially in today's culture. You see a lot of the product. You don't see the product making. You don't see the whole genesis of a thing. You see the finished work. You see the end of the thing, and not the whole painful, time-absorbing process to get to that. And I think if you're not willing to go in this, knowing that you're going to make sacrifices, maybe you don't know what those sacrifices are or the degree of sacrifices, but you at least got to know there will be some sacrifices, whether it's time spent with family or friends, or whether it's giving up a relationship, whether it's, maybe holding back from having children at a certain time in your life. There are really significant sacrifices that you have to make. And if you don't get that from the door, you won't last. And especially in entertainment, where it's such a highly competitive, highly coveted arena to contend in, you really have to understand that if you're going to achieve stuff, there's going to be sacrifices. And then as a child of God, there's just a whole other level of sacrifices you're going to be making on top of that. Because there's certain things that you can't do the way everybody else does, and you're going to have to go the harder route, seemingly, than what everybody else is doing, because you follow a different compass than everyone else. So there's further complications to your complication. And so if you're not really, like I said, if you don't have that anchor in you, though, you don't have that foundation and framework, you can just throw it in the towel. Because it's really not a pursuit for the weak-minded. And maybe you have to allow yourself, because you're going to go through weak stages where there's just things that you have to face that you just don't know. You screwed up. You messed up. You should have went left and you went right. And you have to come to grips with that. But that's also a part of the process. That's also allowed, those kinds of mishaps and mistakes, they're allowed. There's a certain grace, that's the word, grace, that you have to make those mistakes. But if you don't go in already knowing that you're going to have to give up some things, it's not going to work out.
Kiki, you know, I have to say, you are dropping great wisdom on us today, and I am so encouraged by the dialogue that we're having. And For those that are listening in, we want to thank you for tuning in to Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams here on Inspired Media for You. We are joined with in-studio guest Kiki McKnight, and we're talking about pursuing a dream authentically. And we've already had, just in these early moments of today's show, truly some richness that has been shared. I am enjoying the wisdom God is using you to confirm some things on my journey, because there are a lot of sacrifices that people don't necessarily understand that one makes the decision to make for their dreams to become a reality. And I love that you were transparent, and thank you so much for being open and saying, Kiki, wow, sacrifices, that's a part of the journey. Because we're in such a microwavable society that people want things quick, fast, and in a hurry. They don't want to sacrifice anything. They think, you know, I want this dream, but it's not going to cost me anything. I would say, as a coach, I know what I would say to that. What would you say as one that's living the journey?
It's tough because, you know, and maybe some of my friends will listen, and maybe some of my friends will be calling in with questions. Oh boy. But I've gone through some embarrassing stages in my life, and they come in cycles, and it's hard because you see, you know, you have, you know, what people call, or what we've been conditioned to believe, is the American dream. And at this age, you're supposed to have the house and the 2.5 kids and the white picket fence and the dog and the husband and the two-car garage and, you know, the 401k and, you know, taking family vacations every year. And this is supposed to be the pinnacle of the American dream. And it doesn't work out that way. And when you look at your, for me personally, when I examine myself, you know, I say, you know, there was a lot of times, and I'm great at beating up myself. I'm learning to love myself on another level. Thank you, Lord. But I spent a lot of nights really beating up myself because I felt I should have been at a certain level, because there's a certain amount of feeling like you've missed a mark that you should have reached at a certain time in your life. And I had to really plow through that thinking, that mindset, that everybody's arrival time is different. And everybody's arrival time is not predetermined by some general consensus of when that should happen. It is God ordained. And if my arrival time is at age 50 and it's not at age 25, then that's my arrival time. But the point is, I arrived. The point is, at the end of all of this living that I've done, I can say I did it. I reached the end. And I can't ever say that if I quit, if I gave up, if I said, oh, I'm at 25, I'm at 30, I'm at 40, I'm at 50, and I still didn't get there, I'm going to give up. And I yet have life to live, and I've already failed as far as I'm concerned. So I had to really redefine and give myself my own definition of what success is. And I had to say to myself, well, you know, maybe there's not a lot of things on paper, it's not reflecting in my bank account, but I think I'm on my way. And I certainly know that there are some roads I could have taken. If I didn't listen to that inner voice in me that said, no, you can't do it that way. Because if I had gone that way and did things that way, even though I might have achieved some level of success as far as the rest of the world thinks, in my soul, in my spirit, I would have failed. So really that definition is very subjective as far as what success is and when you've arrived and when you've reached it. Because, you know, I had to use a lot of biblical examples to help me through this, because there's days where you just really want to just give up and you want to just curl into a ball and just become invisible, because you really feel like you can't take another second of whatever it is that's coming down on your head, and you don't feel like you're making any progress. It's very hard, and especially if you're by yourself. you know, especially I'm here on my own because I'm a single mom and my family is on the East Coast and I'm on the West Coast. I'm very isolated. And sometimes you feel the weight of that isolation. And it can be very depressing. And I've had issues with that. I'm not ashamed to say that because I hope to help somebody who is going through that. And depression is very, very real. And it feels like you're suffocating, you're choking from the inside out. And if you don't have that compass, you know, if you don't have a relationship with God, if you don't have a center to keep reminding you why you're here, what are you doing this for, then you'll never be able to uncurl out of that ball, roll over, wipe the snot from your face, and get up and wash your face and keep going. So it really is, it's a lot. And it takes a personal determination to say, come what may, even through the embarrassment, even through some very, you know, disappointing times, very discouraging times, I'm still quite successful. And I'm going to continue to be successful until I'm very successful. So that's how I see it.
I love it. And, you know, as I was listening to all of what you were just sharing, I was like, wow, but her bio is very impressive. You know, the different shows that you have been associated with, film, television, so on and so forth. And then, of course, your own project, Bad Dad Rehab. And no, it doesn't bash the men. I love it. I actually saw it personally. Tell us, how did this project, Bad Dad Rehab, come about?
Well, Coach, it's come from some personal experiences, unfortunately. Again, I'm a single mom, and I've had my share of personal battles with my daughter's dad and, you know, years of just a roller coaster of just trying to have a partnership of some sort as parents, and that wasn't a smooth ride. And so what I wanted to do was basically talk about it, but I didn't want to come at it from the usual angle where it's a mom upset with a deadbeat dad, if you will, and then she's just ranting and raving about it, and she's just venting. Because we've seen that, and it's a narrative we're all familiar with. I didn't want that because in my heart of hearts, I have a love for men. I have a particular love for black men, and I know there are challenges for them, and not to make excuses, but I know that they have particular challenges. And so I wanted to understand the pathology of a quote-unquote deadbeat dad or a non-committal parent. I wanted to really understand that and get into the heart of it so I can examine it on a public platform, but not be male bashing, because that to me is self-defeating. Because when you bash men, you ultimately bash the women, and you certainly bash the children, because what they do affects all of us. So I didn't want to come at them that way. I wanted to be medicine, but with a little sugar, and just talk to the guys and kind of see from their perspective why they're in this predicament. Why are they getting this label slapped on them? What happened? Let's talk about it, but let's be honest about it, but let's be respectful and loving at the same time. So that's what Bad Dad Rehab, how that came about. And because there's no one single kind of bad dad, I had four classifications. So there's, you know, there's a quintessential bad dad who doesn't really acknowledge that the child even exists, basically. They're like, the child is not his, and so they don't walk the face of the earth, and they don't interact with the child on any level. And then there's the classic bad dad who's just in their kid's life, but really one toe out. Like, they're there enough for birthdays and Christmas, but they're not really there when you need them, and certainly not there financially. And then there's the bad dad who wants to be a part of their child's life. And they call the reluctant bad dad. They're classified as bad dads technically because they're not able to give the child support because of job or work situations, but they're there physically and they want to be there financially. It's just circumstantially they can't. But they're the good guys. And then there's the delusional bad dad who gives the money and, you know, everything and pays all the bills, but you never see them. They're not emotionally there. Their presence is not felt. So those were the different classifications. And then there's the bad dad who also lives at home but really isn't there. It's just a zombie. So it's a phantom dad, even though they're there physically. So these are the things I wanted to explore, and I wanted to really get to the nitty-gritty of it, the heart of it, and really have a cathartic conversation about it and start the healing process. And so from what I've gathered from the social media posts and responses from people who watched it, we've done the job we set out to do. And that took a team of people with myself taking that script, but you can only take a script so far. Somebody has to interpret it. And Carl Seaton was a very good director who did it. And TV1 believed in the project, and they just championed the project all the way from beginning to end and promoted it like crazy so everybody would just hear about it and get the word out. And so I'm very pleased with the results of it. And it's still repeating on TV1 as we speak. So it's really gotten a great reception.
And, you know, it is a project that, without question, you should feel really proud about it. And one of the things that I really appreciated was that you brought in the different types of, quote-unquote, bad dads. And the one that I loved the most was the dad that was there with all of the money and all of that, but yet he was emotionally disconnected. He didn't know his daughter. You know, I just felt like, wow, you wouldn't perceive that type of individual to, quote unquote, be a bad dad who's taking care of all the bills and sending his daughter to the best school and, you know, just all of this, but yet he was so emotionally distant. So I loved how you really shined a light and gave different points of view. And I am saying this live on Motivational Mondays. I said it to you privately. I'm saying it openly. I feel like it's a series. I feel like it's more than just a movie, that there's more stories and layers that can be told. And I felt like it was so healing and cathartic when you're looking at it to see different points of view and for there to be this light that shined in these different moments of what one would call an epiphany or the aha moment, and then the shifting to see the change. And that's what I love, that you didn't just keep it there at where they were, but you brought it to the shifting and the change based on their journey. So it was just very powerful. Kudos to you. What's next for Miss Kiki McKnight? Is there anything that you can share with us that you have in the hopper?
Well, I do have a few fires. There's a TV project. There's two TV projects that I'm about to engage in. I don't think I can say his name, but if I said his name, you would know his name. As far as some reality show efforts that we're going around and shopping, and I'm very excited about it because it's looking really good for them. I also am working with Derek Luke on a project, a long gestating project that we've had for several years now, but we're finally coming to that end place. Again, it's a journey. That we can see the trees now, and we can see the clearing. So we're very excited about getting that, and that's called CRAM, and that'll be coming to everyone soon. So we're setting that up, gearing up for that. And then there's also a TV film it's a theatrical film that I'm writing right now about Tim and Breland Bowman. And they were an internet sensation that basically started this firestorm because they took a vow of purity. Breland in particular presented her father with a certificate from her doctor that her hymen was still intact on her wedding day. And she did this because she took a purity vow, purity at 13, and it's a tradition in their family. And she just wanted something tangible to show her dad that, look, Dad, I kept my promise. I'm still a virgin, and it's my wedding day, so I just want to give you something on my wedding day just to say, hey, I did it. And she didn't think anything of it, but she posted it on Instagram, and it just started a whole hailstorm. And eventually got the couple, Tim and Breland, on Good Morning America, The View, The Doctors, and morning talk shows across the country, and Run, Reverend Run, and Tyrese's nighttime show, and so many things, and it's brought this conversation about sex and purity and waiting to get married and all these other things, and millennials, because they're in their 20s. So I'm excited to write their very modern millennial love story for the masses. And then there's other things that I'm doing as well. So I'm pretty excited about some of the projects that I'm doing. Very, very excited.
You know, I'm hearing your passion. And, of course, as a coach, one of the things that I am always encouraging individuals to do is to connect with their passion, that it's not about the money. And I'm not saying that money is not important, but if you follow your passions, then money, I believe, the money will come. Like you said, it's a journey. It may take time, but it will come. It's all about passion. And if you're fueling that, where did this passion for writing and telling other people's stories? Because when you speak, I'm hearing there's like this light, you know, that starts to blossom in you that I can tell you really tapped into your passion, your purpose. Where did that come from? When did you know that you were predestined for what you're doing today?
Well, when I became cognizant of it, because, it's God-given, but everybody doesn't become aware of that until various stages in their life. But when I became cognizant was when, you know, I was a kid and I was, like, basically like a single, an only child for a long time. But I was a peculiar only child because in the sense that I could build whole worlds by myself and was content in those little worlds. And my friends would probably think that I still do that on some level. But I was very good with my imagination, and I channeled that into, you know, these other places. And my mother is a very avid, voracious reader. And so there were books all around me as a child. There were books and things like that. And I just, you know, was absorbed in those other worlds. And I think that indulged my creativity that was already, you know, innate inside of me, but probably dormant, to come out of me in the form of writing. And so I took to writing stories and things like that. And my grandfather, who's 81, told me that he knew from some third grade book report that I was going to be a writer. And I couldn't believe that. I was like, really? Like, what did I write from that age that told you? He said it was just the way you were with words. Like, I knew that's what you were going to do. So I initially went on this journalism track thinking that I was going to be a journalist, because I didn't think that writing novels or anything was really a viable career. And so I'm thinking, well, journalists, you know, I know what that is. I see newspapers, I see magazines, they have jobs. So I went in that direction, thinking that that was really all I could do. And I really didn't think I had the chops to be a novelist, let alone a novelist that could live off of my books. So I kind of put that on the back burner, and TV and film wasn't even on my radar during my formative years. So I went to college, to Syracuse University, shout out to SU. Went to Syracuse University, enrolled in the Newhouse School of Communications, which was the top, it was a number two school in journalism at the time. Northwestern was number one. So I went to school and I enrolled in journalism thinking I'm going to be a journalist, and yeah, okay, great. And I got kicked out, primarily because I kept arguing with my professors, who kept saying that I was taking too much creative license with my assignment. And I was like, well, the assignment sucks and it's boring. And they're like, well, you have to write news, and news, you can't infuse your creativity or your opinions or your flourishes. So I left. They were happy, so was I. I became an English major, which basically is a catch-all for any career that you haven't figured out you want to do yet. And I graduated with, by that time I graduated, I had stumbled into my calling, through, I think it was, I don't know what it was. I think it was an episode of Moesha, to be honest. I was watching, and I was just like, I want to do that. Like, I want to write. Because Brandy was, like, around our age. So I was like, wait, I could write her dialogue. I know this world. I know that thinking. I could totally do that. And then I was like, people write, they make money from doing that? And I think it was, I had a Moesha epiphany. And I just, being the person that I am, that the one who brings down with force, I just got relentless and tracked down one of the writers, and she just talked to me about what this process was, and I was so green. I didn't understand the machine called the television industry. But somehow, by my junior year, I think it was, or maybe my sophomore year, I had finagled using my gift for writing and my gift of, you know, really being good with words on the page to secure two internships. One was with Arsenio Hall's show, which was hot at the time, and the other was with a show called South Central with Ralph Farquhar, who was the executive producer of Moesha. He was doing a new show. So I wanted to get in that piece. So I wrote these two really dope letters, and they got me in, and I was so happy. And then I got the worst news ever. Both shows were canceled, and I was just like,
oh, yeah,
huh?
No, right? That was the introduction to that industry, right?
Yes. So like I said, there's these big, you know, these disappointments that happen that come out of the blue, because you're just like, wait, I was in there. I was going to have two internships in California at the same time, and they had worked it out where I could do Arsenio part one part of the summer and then do the show South Central. And Lorenz Tate was one of the stars of the show. Jennifer Lopez was also in the show. Mara Brock Akil, who created Being Mary Jane, was a part of the show. Gina Prince by the Wood, who wrote and shot Love and Basketball, was a part of that show. I would have been in there with them. And I was like, this would have been awesome had they not gotten canceled. So, yeah, that was a big blow. But it didn't deter me. I kept going, and obviously, and, you know, went on. And after I graduated, you know, a lot of things has happened. And then, you know, I became a mom before I could even really get my feet wet being a graduate. And then so that I had to reset. So from a very young age, I knew that writing was my calling. I just didn't know what form, what medium that it would be. And I had to go through those trials and errors to really figure it out.
You know, that is so awesome because, like I said, your bio is so impressive, all of the various shows that you've worked on. And clearly one would know that this is what you were called to do. And there's so much more on the horizon for you. You know, I think that this would be a good time, Kiki, for us to at least invite our global listening audience in. This is a time in our programming when we invite you, our listening audience, to share in the discussion. If you would like to ask a question, make a comment around today's subject, pursuing a dream authentically, and the dialogue that we have shared, we invite you to press 1 on your telephone keypad. Press 1 on your telephone keypad. That will add you to the host queue. If you're on your electronic device, you do need to dial in. The dial-in number is 516-453-9374, 516-453-9374. And again, press 1 on your telephone keypad to add yourself to the host queue. Meanwhile, we will continue to share in this dialogue. It's so interesting as we're sharing this evening. I'm learning so much about you. I am an only child, and it's so funny because, unlike you, I did not know until I was in my, late 20s, I believe, about my calling and what I'm doing. I have a background in real estate, but I remember my mom telling me that I should do something that I can do speaking. You know, my family teases me. They're always like, okay, you had a little microphone and you were on a little platform. But I didn't know what that looked like. And I remember in the 90s, the 900 numbers came out on the scene. And people were like, wow, you can make a lot of money with your voice if you get into that. And I was like, yeah, I don't think that's why God gave me the voice to do a 900 number. You know how you were saying finding the right pathway. And so I'm loving this connection with you. What would you say is the greatest life lesson that you have learned to date? Greatest life lesson?
My greatest life lesson. That's a complicated nut to crack. I think my greatest life lesson is not to worry about what people think of me. I think that's for as much as people think I'm such a strong person, I've been held back a lot of times or reserved or a little trepidatious about things because I'm afraid that I won't get it right and that I'll be judged even harsher than I've already been judged. So after a series of rejection, and you get a lot of it in this particular field, you hear a lot of no's. You hear a lot of not, you're not quite there yet, or you see someone that seems to be doing all the right things, and you're like, why am I not doing the right things? Like, as far as they just seem to know all the right cues, and they can get it right, and you know, it seems effortless. And I think I focus too much on that. And then I become over-analytical and over-critical of myself to a point where I almost self-sabotage. Ooh, I'm being very transparent right now. Woo, child, woo. Where I would self-destruct because I'd rather me pull the plug than to think that someone else is going to come and pull the plug on me because that would just crush me. If you did it. But if I did it, I brace myself. So I'll just pull it. I'll just do it. But that's self-defeating. And that's something that really, as I grow in understanding who I am and accepting who I am, that, you know, I must come to that point in time where I just don't care anymore. And I think sometimes I care too much. And I have to kind of catch myself in that moment where, you know, where I say, well, if I be my complete and whole self, will that be accepted? Because there's moments where I felt like when I was myself, it was rejected because it didn't play that part or that role. And I had to question that. Well, what kind of role am I supposed to play? Am I supposed to be an ultra femme, or am I supposed to be the homegirl? What am I supposed to be that's going to get a yes out of someone? And then if I have to be that, that's not being true to myself, and then I feel like I'm not being authentic, and I can't live with myself like that. I just can't. So then I feel crummy and angry and bitter and all these other things because I feel like people are stifling who I truly want to be. But if I be who I truly want to be, I won't get to where I want to go. So it's a conundrum. So I have to deal with that sometimes and just mentally block those things out because I can literally feel myself about to press that self-sabotage button because I'm just like, forget it. I'll just deal with another loss and move on. But that's not helping me, and it's certainly not helping the people that my gift and my craft is supposed to impact. Because there's other people involved. It's not just about me. It's about what God put in you. It's not just for you. It's for somebody else. So the more I delay or am delayed, the more somebody else is not getting what they need that I have inside of me. So, you know, that doesn't work. But that's the lesson. You learn these lessons along the way, but it's up to you to get it so you don't have to keep going through it. And I think I'm at the end stage of that, praise the Lord, so I can really go on to the next level of things.
You know, I really love that. And Kiki, thank you for being so transparent because that is a struggle that we all process through at some stage or another in just not caring what other people think. you know, the world today, it's like all this outside in forces, you know, we're looking for everybody to validate us. And so when you make that connection, one with yourself and your creator or whatever that looks like, and you are at peace with who you are, it makes the world of a difference. We actually have a caller, so I'm going to transition our caller in. And again, thank you for being so transparent. We have area code 702-5600. You are live on Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams and Kiki McKnight. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Coach Adams. And Kiki, thank you so much for sharing your story with me. I live the same life. I just cannot imagine everything that you said. I live the exact journey that you expressed. Mm, and I want to say to you, thank you. But you got to keep moving. You got to keep moving. You know, the kids are going to grow up. They're going to be grown. You're going to be there alone. And, you know, just know that you're doing the best job that you can do. I know I raised two children by myself with the same deadbeat story. However, I did not look for them to even engage with me at all. If they were going to be deadbeats, I didn't want them around. So I had two different mindsets. I have to go to school. I have to work. There were times I worked two jobs. And I had to be with all the at school with all the activities with the kids. It's not an easy journey. But I lived through it. I gave them the best that I could. I don't think they would have had it even better if the dad had been around. So, you know, keep that in mind that it is your journey, which I had never really thought about that word until Coach Adams had us to journalize what our journey was going to look like, first class that I took with her. And I said, okay, my journey. My journey. What's my journey?
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for chiming in and sharing your journey and relating that to today's in-studio guest. I so appreciate you, Ms. Cheryl. I do recognize the voice, and I thank you for chiming in. I greatly appreciate you. If you will press 1 to take yourself out of the host queue. And thank you for being such a faithful listener of Motivational Mondays. I do want to share with our global listening audience, we have just shy of 5 minutes left in today's broadcast. So do know that it's not too late. You do have time to still chime in. Press 1 to add yourself to the host queue to make a comment or ask a question of our in-studio guest sharing great wisdom on this evening on Motivational Mondays. Press 1 to add yourself to the host queue. Kiki, any other thoughts as we bring today's broadcast to a close, where it's that place of starting to wrap up? Any closing remarks or thoughts? If we get another caller, we'll transition them in, but want to hear from you as we prepare to wind down this episode.
I don't know. I know I said a mouthful, and I know I'll probably be evaluating every word that I've said tonight. Like, was that TMI? Was that oversharing? But, you know, that's what life is. It's a collection and assortment of moments, and those moments are gleeful, they're silly, they're embarrassing, they're insightful, they're deep, they're revelatory. There's so many moments in life. And if you can't at some point embrace all of them, then you're missing out. You know, I learned so many things through my mistakes that had I not made a mistake, I wouldn't have learned this or learned that. I learned so many things, allowing my imagination to run away and not be doing, you know, the hard news stuff or the regulatory stuff and the 9-to-5 stuff and doing things the normal way, the cookie cutter stuff, by me taking another route and just going on the road less traveled. You know, I've had some really great travels in my imagination and in my mind, and it's fueled my creativity in ways that I can produce something out of myself and pull it out and put it on something that brings joy or insight or laughter or tears to someone else that is not even connected to me, someone I won't even lay eyes on, or even I won't even know their name or where they live, but they're watching something that came out of me, and that's an accomplishment, that's an achievement, that's something that makes me feel, oh my gosh, I'm getting misty eyed. Look at this. It makes me feel it's worth it.
That is so rich, Kiki. Wow. I am just really getting so much out of your transparency and the openness in which you're sharing on this evening. I want you to know we have another guest. We have another caller. So I would like to transition our next caller in. Area code 215, last four digits, 4072. You are live on Motivational Mondays with Kiki McKnight and Coach Adams. Welcome.
Hi. Well, thank you so much for having me or allowing me to call in this evening. Coach Adams and Kiki happens to be, well, let me say this, that I am one of Kiki's greatest supporters and has been for over 25 years now. Kiki is a dear friend of mine. And I just want to say that, for one thing, I am truly, truly excited about her journey and thankful to be sharing it with her. Our college group has been together for many years, and we've shared in the ups and downs of all of our lives. And Kiki has certainly showed us what it means to be resilient, to believe in your dreams, to follow your dreams, and to believe that what God has for you is for you. And so I just applaud her. We are behind her 100%. We are thankful for all the love and support that she has received over the years, and we truly see her growing and reaching that full, you know, enjoyment in life from what she does. And we just want to continue to keep her encouraged and tell her that we love her.
Oh, I love you guys. And that's another thing I have to add. You know, even though I'm here in L.A. and California and by myself, you know, I have to change that sentiment, because I'm really not alone on so many levels. I don't have my friends around me to touch, but they touch me with their words and they touch me with their well wishes. And they touched me with their support that never, ever wavered. And these are women who see me at, oh, my gosh, things I can't even say publicly. But they've been there in moments where I, you know, maybe didn't want them there, but they've been there. And they see me in my ups and downs and everything. And they've been so supportive and never judge me. They tell me the truth in love, even if it's a hard truth, but they tell me the truth, and I know their heart, they would never, ever do anything malicious to hurt me or bring me down, and everybody doesn't have that, and that's another thing that you hope and pray to God that you get, is real, authentic friends, because you can't pursue your dreams authentically if you don't have authentic friends, an authentic support system in some way or form. If that's a husband, or if it's a family or parents, or, you know, I have both. I have parents and friends and family who are very supportive. So thank you, Trina, Josie, Naya, Tamika, Sonia, all of them. They're so supportive. And my sister, Chris, who's listening, so supportive, such a great family. I'm so blessed.
Well, you know, I am blessed and encouraged by your story, and I thank you again for sharing it. It's amazing how quickly an hour of power flies by. And I thank our callers who have interacted with us on this evening. Wow, it's time to bring tonight's installment of Motivational Mondays to a close. And Kiki, again, I thank you. This is, you are always welcome to come and share with us here on Motivational Mondays. At any time you have a project you want to share, you want to share more of your story, know that this is a platform, that this is home. So we hope that you definitely will grace us with your presence in the very near future. As we close out today's installment, maybe you weren't able to ask a question or a comment. I want you to know that we have a Facebook Motivational Mondays forum. It's an open group where we can continue the dialogue, and we definitely want to do that with you. Again, we thank you and appreciate you all for tuning in to Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams. We've truly had a revealing and rich dialogue with today's in-studio guest, Kiki McKnight, Kiranda. To bring down with force, the meaning of Kiranda, I love that. Coach Adams has a full circle of empowerment to support you on your journey to achieve greater success twice a year. In January and July, we host our live empowerment workshop, 4 Hours of Power, with Coach Adams. If you want to know more about our up-and-coming WIN shop, Shape Up and WIN, visit www.ticketriver.com/Coach Adams, ticketriver.com/Coach Adams. 4 Hours of Power is a powerful time of vision training, strategic planning, and coaching empowerment. This is Coach Adams signing off for now. We thank you again for tuning into Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, one who inspires, I coach, and you win.